You're very Wogan-like this morning.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Quite whimsical and deep.
Libel and Son,
I knew you'd be good at him.
I'm a broadcaster of the highest repute.
Very good.
Libel and Son.
Very good. Yeah. Are you scared of stuff, then? What are you scared of?
Well, I mean, I've said already.
Well, I was sort of half listening. Obviously, yeah, I was preparing for my show.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very deeply.
What was I scared
spiders?
Of?
Spiders?
No, yeah, terrified of spiders.
Why are people scared of spiders? Are you scared of things that go faster than you? Like birds trapped in a room?
That's anything.
Yeah.
Anything goes faster than me.
Spiders, you can just walk away. You don't even have to run.
But people say to you, oh, they eat flies and they're more scared of you than you are of them. They're not.
Why are you scared of?
Why would they come running at you in that way?
They're not running.
They are.
Spiders never run.
I hate them.
They limp.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 4 o'clock, a trade court in the US has blocked Donald Trump from imposing sweeping global tariffs on imports. It concluded that the US president exceeded his authority when he unveiled additional taxes on foreign-made goods. Donald Trump argued he had the power to act because it was a national emergency. Well, LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks has more on this.
If I look at the text of this ruling, it says that it is absolutely clear that the Constitution assigns the United States Congress the exclusive powers to collect tariffs, to impose tariffs, and to regulate commerce with foreign nations. Now, I have no doubt that the Trump administration will be appealing that ruling, but on the face of it, it is a substantial blow.
Well, Elon Musk says his role at the Trump administration has now ended. The Tesla owner thanked the US president and said he was stepping down as his scheduled time as a special government employee comes to an end. He led the Department of Government Efficiency and said he was thankful for the opportunity to reduce wasteful spending. In other news this morning, the health secretary says he wants resident doctors to vote against strike action. It's after polling suggested almost half of the British public are against proposed walkouts. They're being balloted on by the British Medical Association, who want a 29% rise to restore historical pay freezes. The Health Secretary Wes Streeting, speaking directly to doctors, has said they can't afford to return to a continuous style of strikes and cancellations.
Industrial action should always be a last resort. And frankly, I'd understand it if you had a Health Secretary with his fingers in the ears telling you you were wrong. But in the last 10 months, you've seen a changed approach. We've made real progress on pay. We're making progress on conditions.
Police have until later today to question a man arrested over the Liverpool Victory Parade collision after being given more time yesterday. A 53-year-old is being held after a car was driven into a crowd in the city centre on Monday. The government's stepped in to take control of two major new reservoirs as it warns UK water supplies are under threat. The aim is to fast-track the delivery of projects in East Anglia and Lincolnshire to improve resources for 750,000 homes. LBC weather, rain clearing for most later to leave a windy day with a mixture of sunny spells and showers in the west. Warm in the south with some rain lingering in northern Scotland, a high of 24 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Daryl Jackson.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Payne.
Boom, boom, boom.
4 a.m.
Ah, yes, here we are. Good morning. 3.5 minutes past 4 o'clock. Ridiculous. What are you doing? Why aren't you asleep? For God's sake. Why are you here? What are you doing? It's May the 29th. Wow, it's almost June. It's Thursday. And, well, there's lots to talk about. There's nothing huge, but there's a lot of stuff going on that isn't. I mean, let's do the breaking news, shall we? Should we do some breaking news? Because you don't get much news happening at this time. Elon Musk has told CBS in America that his role in the Trump administration is coming to an end and that he is thankful for the opportunity to reduce wasteful spending. He says he doesn't understand why he's such a hate figure. Why are people burning Teslas, he says. He looks like he's a bit confused. He says his role in the Trump administration is gone. So CBS, this is a Sunday breakfast show, I think it is, and they've drip-fed us a couple of clips. So here's a little bit of Elon Musk talking about his role and why he's leaving.
So, you know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along, I mean, like, everything he's done on Doge gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big or it can be beautiful. But I don't know if it can be both. My personal opinion.
Everybody, I was listening to Paul Dudridge, the Republican commentator this morning with Richard, and everyone was saying, well, the bromance is going to end, and it's going to end on fire. It hasn't really ended on fire, has it? The two egos, they sort of clashed a bit, but Musk fell out with the Secretary of State, I think, and had a really sort of finger-jabbing into the chest type argument outside the Oval Office. And I think Trump just thought this is too much disruption, even for me. And it just, the ego was too big. And it was inevitable. It was absolutely inevitable. Shall we say congratulations? Get the sports stuff out of the way. Shall we say congratulations to Chelsea? 1-0 down in the final of the Europa Conference. That's like the third tier European. So they've now won everything. Chelsea mounted a stirring comeback to thrash Real Betis and win the Conference League last night, becoming the first club ever to win all four major European competitions. 1-0 down at half time. Full time, 4-1.
Enzo Fernandez. That's a great pass. And Chelsea are going to complete the set.
They certainly are. They've won them all. And Caicedo is like the ever-present. He is played in every game this season. Doesn't matter the quality of the opposition, doesn't matter what the tournament is. Caicedo, who cost something like 110 million quid, yeah, from Brighton. I'm surprised he doesn't get sent off more, but he really is. He's a warrior. Isn't it? He's a real, real warrior. So the big question is, if you are a Chelsea fan, do you have a bus parade for winning that? I think the feeling is, well, why not, really? I mean, celebrate cups. Celebrate silverware, always, I think. We had a big sort of do for winning the championship title, Leeds. You know, Newcastle had one for winning the League Cup, for God's sake, didn't you? And yet the Arsenal women didn't have a bus parade. They had a sort of trophy lift or something, which is a bit like, I don't know, the way that women's football is treated sometimes, you do think, oh, they're sort of paying lip service to it. The fact that Jim Ratcliffe didn't even turn up for the women's FA Cup final for Manchester United, it was a bit, like, I know he's busy, but it's just to sort of show everybody it's something. So that's that. Should you have a bus parade? Is Marcus Rashford going to Barcelona? His brother, who sort of acts as his agent, was held talks with Barcelona's sporting director, Deco, in Spain yesterday. They reckon they're going to sell him for 40 million quid, or euros, is it? Marcus Rashford. I think, I don't understand the Marcus Rashford loving. As a person, he's obviously a lovely guy. I think all that off-the-field stuff went to his head a bit, didn't he? If you've got murals of yourself all over your home city, you know, you're going to feel like your ego's going to be pumped up a bit, isn't it? And all that stuff he did about school dinners and everything. We're going to be... actually, we could do it now. This is a comedian who has got previous when it comes to talking about sensitive subjects. He had a go at Marcus Rashford once. This is a comedian called Andrew Lawrence. He's had his upcoming stand-up gigs cancelled after making an attempt at a joke about the Liverpool Premier League victory parade. We have to be a bit careful about this because someone has been arrested. Hasn't been charged yet, I don't think, has he? So it's not sub judice, so it's not contempt of court yet. So, as you know, more than 50 people, including children, were hospitalised when a vehicle ploughed into a crowd of jubilant supporters who were celebrating Liverpool's triumph on Monday evening. But Andrew Lawrence said... Just can't believe he did this. Too soon, mate. He would drive through crowds of people to get out of Liverpool in a post that's been met with a furious response on X. It's like that Jimmy Carr experiment where he just told jokes that he told that joke about Auschwitz and gypsies. Do you remember? And he got away with it. I always, Ricky Gervais has done a sort of thing about it. You know, is anything off the table when it comes to humour? Yes, racism is the one thing. That's the one thing that, who was it? Not Griff Rhys-Jones. That's the one thing. Griff Rhys-Jones did an experiment, and he was in a theatre, and he did this live experiment. I've seen it online. And he basically takes more and more risque subjects. And if he gets any kind of response from the audience that is in any way positive, he continues. He made jokes about Auschwitz. He made jokes about Princess Diana's car crash. He made jokes about the sickest things you could possibly do. But the one subject he didn't touch was... What do you think? What was the one subject he didn't make a joke about? Because he knew his career would be cancelled for that. Race. You know, make a joke about a black person. No. Even he knew that is completely off the table. And it's strange, isn't it, that it's like... Only Irish people can tell Irish jokes. This is how the world has become. Only Liverpudlians can make jokes about being from Liverpool. You can't criticise Liverpool for quite understandable reasons. But, you know, they still don't sell The Sun newspaper in Liverpool because of their reaction to the Hillsborough crisis. Even though, and I know Kelvin McKenzie quite well, you know, even though he said, the police told us what we're supposed to do, just not believe them because they were just lied to. Weren't they, about the truth and people being drunk. I'm sure there were people that were drunk there, but, you know, that didn't cause the crush. The crush was caused, and I'm sorry to say, I've said this millions of times, try and find a shot of the Leppings Lane end. Sorry to be sick, but it's true. Have a look at the Leppings Lane end and have a look at the full terrace, not just the middle section, because it was in three sections, a left hand, a middle, and everybody was in the middle. If you look at the left and the right, there's not that many people in there. They just opened the wrong gate, and there was a really good Liverpool close shot, and the match was about 6 minutes old or something, and everybody heard that, and they all just charged in to go, and it was just the wrong gate, you know. Otherwise, they could have easily accommodated all those people, but they just put them in the wrong pen. It was terrible, and they had those terrible fences. Oh, awful, awful. So he made a joke about the Liverpool parade crash. Are there some subjects that are just off limits? For, you know, could you make a joke about the Liverpool parade crash in a year? You know, Andrew, no, the Hillsborough survivors. You see, this is what he's done. He's stirred the Hillsborough survivors support group. You know, you're never going to win a fight with them, are you? They provide mental health support to victims of the 1989. And you're still cancelled if you make a joke about it. A comedian, really, you're an embarrassment to the profession. Actor Barry Sloan, who is from Liverpool, obviously, and will star in HBO's House of Dragons, said, you absolute disgrace. I've never heard of him. Have you heard of Barry Sloan? Oh, you have? Okay. Mr. Lawrence, who's on a nationwide tour, then posted that an upcoming gig in Southend had been cancelled. He wasn't actually at one of the greatest venues. He was at a... It was a... it's called Caddies. So it's part-time comedy club and part-time... mini golf course. Doesn't sound like an outstanding venue, does it? Anyway, he said an upcoming gig in Southend had been cancelled. Lovely. This venue lost their courage after being bombarded with abuse and threats of violence from online trolls. Understandable, but disappointing. Come on, you know. I like a good current joke with the rest of us, but to be honest, mate, that's, you know, it only happened on Monday. What are you doing? Anyway, I'll reschedule for later in the year at different venue in Southend. Sorry for the inconvenience. Oh, was it in Southend? It would be in Southend. Have you been to Southend? I don't wish to be rude about Essex as well, because only Essex people can be rude about Essex. But really, what a dismal place Southend is. Really. Oh, you feel like... Oof. The sea is freezing cold, and there's a big sort of a chemical factory across the where the sea is. The sea looks just black and brown, and everyone's wearing a shell suit. You know, I don't wish to be rude, but you have to be true about. So even if you come from Southend, you'd say not the best place. And then there's Lee-on-Sea, which is even more. Yeah. Anyway, I used to go out with someone from Southend, so I can talk about it, you know, It's not the first time that this comic has been cancelled. He was widely criticised. He does pick his stuff. He was widely criticised for comments about the penalty takers in the aftermath of England's shootout defeat in the 2020 Euros. I don't actually want to go there because... Do you remember the fuss of the 2020? Apart from the fact that everybody didn't have tickets and charged in because they were on the sniffy stuff all day and drinking. From 10 a.m. they opened up the bars for a match that was starting at 7:30 or something. What are they thinking? Anyway, and there's that guy on the bus. Have you seen? There's a documentary all about it on. I think it's Netflix as well. And this guy was on the Charlie from, you know, 7 in the morning, and so by 7 at night, you know, you can imagine the state they were in. No wonder that they just charged in. So I don't want to, because there was a really racist element, wasn't there? Because the penalty takers who missed were all black footballers or mixed race heritage or whatever. And then people sort of went on about that. But anyway, he made a poor taste joke about Marcus Rashford's anti-poverty campaign. So basically anything he can, he takes. Yeah, but there are something. It's the timing of it and all the rest of it, I think. His agents cancelled him after the Marcus Rashford joke. Okay. Yeah, right. We could go on by that. Is there anything that is off limits, do you think? And also, I want to talk about Emma Raducanu. I've got so much to say, but I feel like Liverpool, you can't criticise Emma Raducanu because you'll get such abuse from people if you do it. So I'm going to leave it to the tennis correspondent of the Daily Telegraph. I'll read out his take on Emma Raducanu and her tennis. And then we'll talk about, is it ever right to wear training shoes with a suit? Not for me. I think of that dreadful man, Infantino, the general secretary of FIFA, the man who took over from Sepp Blatter, who's just as sort of tone deaf as Sepp Blatter was. Anyway, he always wears white trainers with a dark suit, and it just looks silly. Anyway, Justin Trudeau wore some Adidas Gazelles. Very trendy, but for the King's speech, not sure, Justin. Have a word with yourself. Give your head a wobble. Isn't that what people say? You melt. It's 17 past four.
This is LBC.
Already daydreaming about that wave of hot air as you step off the plane? EasyJet has flights from just £30 one way to over 130 holiday hotspots and hidden gems. It's time to get your summer on. Book now at easyjet.com. Get out there. Selected flights June to September. Limited availability. T's and C's apply.
I've had a few. Jimmy was my first. He was gorgeous and gave me so much space. Then there was Lorenzo. He was exciting, but also reliable. Elvis is my latest. I love him the most. He makes me feel so warm with his heated seats and steering wheel. It might sound strange to love a car and name them, but it's not just me. Almost every Honda Jazz owner stays with the Jazz and buys another. True love starts with a test drive. Honda, the power of dreams.
At ulizprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulizprosperity.com.
Ian Payne on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Oh dear. Is that the guy who came on yesterday? That was his bird impression, wasn't it? We have this the worst entertainment. He said, oh, well, 5 o'clock. So basically, Paul on the night shift. Morning, Paul. Morning, Ian. Did you get the 5 o'clock jingle sorted? Well, we can't use that. We can't use that because it's just awful. So he said, play some lovely bird songs. So I was thinking Blackbird, you know, the songbird of Britain, which is whose numbers have been threatened by this blooming mosquito that's given it a virus now. Yeah, no, seriously. Anyway, the blackbirds are under threat now. So that's what I would, a warble, a lovely warble. So he said, why don't you play some, and I said, like what? He said, well, like... It's just like the worst bird impression ever, isn't it? So what we're going to do, Paul, is probably at 5 o'clock, because I think at 4 o'clock we have the cockerel, 4 a.m. in the Big Brother house and all that. And then at 5 o'clock I wanted to do something that was similar. So I suggested the Beatles, good morning, good morning. Then someone said Chris Evans had it. I said that doesn't necessarily negate it, but it makes us rethink. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah.
I like, but it's a bit sort of boys' club, and it's also, if there is a conflict going on in the world, which there will be, always, I'm not sure whether it's appropriate for a news station to be talking about napalming a jungle. You think? There is a great documentary on Netflix at the moment about the Vietnam conflict. It explains an enormous amount about the absolute trash that the American people were told about what was actually happening in the war. Anyway, they all used to stay in Saigon and they'd have a press conference every morning. I think it was called the Lies or something like that. And it would just be, yes, we've won this and we've won that and we're winning the war and all the rest of it. And actually, they were getting nowhere near it. If they killed three of them, then 10 of them would reappear. You know, that's what the Viet Cong were like. And because they attacked villages, sorry to get into this, but because they attacked villages and set fire to the straw roofs with their Zippo lighters, the Americans, the civilians turned into Viet Cong as well. So they were the greatest recruitment advert ever for this thing. And that's exactly what's happening in Gaza. If you wanted a recruitment for violence in the future, Netanyahu, you're doing it. You're doing exactly what's necessary. The greatest thing they could have done, I always think, and I know that people will get heads up about this, the greatest thing Netanyahu could have done would be to turn the other cheek and do nothing. And the sympathy of the world, the entire world, would be with Israel. Now he's totally trashed their reputation. Totally trashed. To the extent where every day you see things you just could not believe. There was a young 11-year-old. She's an influencer. You know, she's in Gaza. She's got access to a computer. She's got no food, but she's got access to a computer. And she was just blown to bits the other day. You know, and every day, and you see these starving children, and you think, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, it was awful what happened on October the 7th. But just imagine if they turned around and said, that's why Mandela was so wonderful. Everyone loved him because he forgave people. He came out of prison. There was a friend of mine who was at his first press conference. He came out of prison on the same day that Mike Tyson was beaten by Buster Douglas, actually. But he came out of prison and he did a press conference. I think I've told you this story before. And there was a guy at the back who was a very right-wing, white, Afrikaans newspaper reporter, correspondent. And he put up his hand and Mandela saw him and said, oh, Mr. Schwarzer, or whatever his name was. And everybody thought, this is going to be interesting, because he'd basically said, this man should be executed, he's a terrorist, and he wrote about things about him being in prison all the time. And he said, I have a question. He said, oh, okay. He said, I do enjoy your writing. I think you write really well. And he was really complimentary about him. And it just totally disarmed the room. It was amazing. Apparently, he had that. Bill Clinton, again, a friend of mine interviewed Bill Clinton at Wimbledon once, and he said, he's the most disarming man you'll ever meet. He makes you feel like you've got a sort of Ready Breck golden haze around yourself. You know, it's amazing. It's called the law of attraction. Give off positivity, you'll get positivity. Just don't have anything to do with people who are negative. Just don't. It'll just mess up your life. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So you can't criticise Liverpool and you can't... So Marilyn's a bit upset about my description of Southend. I'm sorry, Marilyn. I just speak from the heart and sometimes I should have a filter. What an awful description of Southend and Leon C. You're so wrong and disrespectful. Why are you in a jovial voice when speaking about the comedian's awful comment? It's not that I'm laughing at the joke. It's a stunned laugh at the fact that this guy thought he would get away with a joke like that. You know, it's just, oh, awful. A lot of you like the bird impression. We're not using it. So at 5 o'clock, we're going to play out some of these things. I like Napalm in the Morning, but I just don't think it's appropriate. Here Comes the Sun, maybe. Beatles, Good Morning. Good morning. Arthur Askey, Wakey, Wakey. The boys have no idea who Arthur Askey is, and I'm not going to go anywhere near them and tell them. Were there other ones? I think. So, quick word about Clarkson's gay bull, and then I'll talk about Emma Raducanu. Jeremy Clarkson has told The Sun. He's very good. He comes out with things and you can't help but chuckle. I've got a trans pig and my 5,500-pound bull is gay, he says. This is his column for The Sun today. Jeremy Clarkson fears he's raised a trans pig on Diddley Squat Farm and spent $5,500 on breeding a bull which could be gay. The LGBTQ livestock shock comes after the presenter and Sun columnist sees his top hog. Ah, that's what... Is it a hog is the male pig? It's not a boar. That's different, is it? Anyway, someone will know. We'll Google it. Are they the same? No, I think a boar and a pig are very different. A boar is fairly dangerous. A pig is okay, but not. There is one funny scene, though, in Clarkson's Series 4 where they try and move the pig into this van to take him to market, and it's horrible. Even Caleb is struggling. The scene features in the latest episode of Clarkson's Farm 4, which arrives on Prime Video tomorrow. I see. So they've done the first four episodes, and then tomorrow it's the next four episodes, the last four episodes. Okay, well, I know what I'll be doing tomorrow. Jeremy has to have the concept of gay animals explained to him by his farm manager, sidekick Caleb Cooper, who confirms that they do exist. It comes as his prize bull, Endgame, he calls it Endgame, is expected to make a beeline for the females when introduced to them on the Oxfordshire farm, which Jezza runs with partner Lisa Hogan. Jeremy points out he's gone the wrong way, seven ladies, and he's not even bothered. Now they're chasing him. Why are they chasing him? Why did the cow just mount the bull? Do you get gay cows? Jeremy asks. He also visits his favourite pig called Richard Ham, named after his ex-Top Gear co-star Richard Hammond. One of the pigs, I think Lisa called Harvey Weinstein, didn't she? And Jezza was trying to explain who Harvey Weinstein was, because both the farmers had no idea. Is he a scientist? He's an actor. He's an actor, isn't he? They had no idea. They just don't live in a world outside of Bicester. Caleb says that little boy there moved its tail to one side thinking it was a girl, so I wonder if it could actually be trans. Jeremy replies, what? We've got trans pigs. This is like being in a Labour Party executive committee meeting right now, he says. So there we are. Emma Raducanu. Need a sip of water before I talk about this. Emma Raducanu is a great tennis player. She won the US Open out of the blue as a qualifier, won every game, didn't even lose a set, I don't think. Played qualifying matches as well. First person ever as a qualifier to win a Grand Slam in America in 2021. She's 22 now. She won it as a teenager. And for me, she's the most talented British tennis player I think I've ever seen. But something's not right, and I don't know what it is. She's had seven coaches. Apparently her dad has a lot of input. She is very often injured. She had the doctor on again. And then yesterday she was thrashed, really, by Iga Świątek, who is only 23. I was amazed to learn the Polish. She used to be the world number one. She's dropped off a bit now. And I was watching her, and I saw her struggle in the first round match against someone that, yeah, was good, but... You know, but suddenly she'll lose terribly, and then the next set she'll come back and go for a toilet break, as they call it, have a massage or something, and she comes back and it just, there's something going on in the head there. I don't know what it is. You know, any aches and pains, and it's like I've got to abandon the match or whatever. I don't know. And I like criticizing Liverpool fans. She is someone that you don't really, certainly in the media, ever want to criticize, because she obviously is quite sensitive to it all, and you can see she, you know, it's like these actors who are becoming Harry Potter in the new Harry Potter series. You know, if you're that famous that young, it can have a real effect on you. I remember interviewing Mark Owen from Take That, and again, a story I've told before, and he just was really down, and I said, why are you, this was before they resumed their careers, and I said, what's up? He said, have I done everything I'm going to do by the age of 24? And I went, well, it's quite something, isn't it? Just bask in it. It must be great. And no, didn't want to do that. So it's when it happens to you really, really early. So have a listen to this. So she lost yesterday. She lost sort of 6-love, 6-1 to Świątek earlier in the year. This time it was 6-1, 6-2. And when you hear her, I mean, she's trying to put a positive spin on everything. And I get that, because that's what you want to do. You don't want to be half empty. You want to be half full. But I don't know. Have a listen to Raducanu talking after what was a severe thrashing, frankly.
I do feel comfortable, obviously, being at home and having that environment around me. Last year, I had a great season, and I'm looking forward to kind of being in the same environment, being at home, having the home support. And yeah, I think all of us really thrive in that environment. And it's just, yeah, a really healthy and kind of happy time.
Yeah, she's talking about looking forward to playing on the grass courts, because that's her favourite surface. And again, I think so. How much is the difference as a surface? I'm not a tennis player, so I don't really know. But clay is very slow. You know, you can retrieve a lot of balls that you wouldn't. Grass is the fastest because it skids off the turf, whereas clay, it sort of holds it up, which is why you get weird rallies in clay, in the clay competition. You get a lot of moon balls bouncing high. There's a lot of sort of smashes and things that you have to do. Unlike grass, where the ball is very, very rarely miles over the net. It just skims over it and all the rest of it, and it's very, very quick. I don't know. So it's not for me to criticise it because I don't know what's going on. So I'll merely refer to an article that's been written by Oliver Brown, who's the chief sports writer of the Daily Telegraph. He says this: the only coach ever to challenge the perpetual sugar rush around Emma Raducanu was Dmitry Turtsinov, who explained in 2022 that he had left her camp after only 2 months because of, quote, red flags that just couldn't be ignored. While his barb was understood to refer to the alleged meddling of her father, Ian, the Russian coach referred pointedly to Raducanu's game being, quote, very raw. 3 years on, this analysis has lost none of its cogency, with the former US Open champion's surrender in Paris to Iga Swiatek yesterday so dismally weak that it was like watching a nervous junior decide she didn't belong at such an exalted level. And yet no sooner had Raducanu been ground into the crushed brick of Roland Garros than Tim Henman declared that she could leave the season's second major with a lot of positives. Really? What? That she had taken 3 games off Swiatek, as opposed to the just one she managed in Melbourne in January. That she carved out a break point in the opening game. Yeah, Tim Henman will never criticise. Tim Henman actually says really interesting things, but his delivery is quite... And so you think, oh, that's not... Poor old Tim Henman. But actually, he's quite opinionated if you listen to what he says. It's really good. But you're not listening to what he says. You just think, oh, no, Tim, nice but dim. You know, it's that kind of thing. When actually, far from it. In a sense, you could understand Henman's reluctance to criticise her too harshly, given that he formed part of her support team en route to her fairy tale of New York, where she became the only player ever to win a Grand Slam as a qualifier. But if Raducanu's ever to script an encore to that stunning achievement, the niceties from her close circle have to stop. And this is where we get to the meat of the article. Tough love is needed, says Oliver Brown. She's stuck in a pattern where almost any time that she has to step up in class, she falls apart. Her latest capitulation to Swiatek was perhaps the worst yet, with her backhand woeful and her body language bereft of self-belief. She looked as if she could... Oh, gosh, look at the time. She could hardly wait for the match to be over. Do you think she needs tough love? I don't know. I just feel bad criticising her because I can't even imagine what goes through her mind to get that much fame. The highest paid tennis player apart from Maria Sharapova, possibly in history, after winning one tournament, you know? And she speaks Chinese, which helps. It's just after 4:30. Let's get the news headlines. Daryl Jackson.
A trade court in the US has blocked Donald Trump from imposing sweeping global tariffs on imports. It concluded that the US president exceeded his authority when he unveiled additional taxes on foreign-made goods. Elon Musk says his role in the Trump administration has ended. The Tesla owner thanked the US president and said he was stepping down as his scheduled time as a special government employee comes to an end. And the health secretary says he wants resident doctors to vote against strike action. It's after polling suggested almost half of the British public are against proposed walkouts. LBC weather, rain clearing for most later to leave a windy day with a mixture of sunny spells and showers in the west. Warm in the south with some rain lingering in northern Scotland, a high of 24 degrees.
LBC. At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
Now, focus on your car. That's right, the one you're ready to sell. See it clearly in your mind, waiting to be sold. We can make it disappear. Just watch carefully. Your car, sold, collected and paid for in almost no time at all. Start selling your car today. It's not magic. It's Motorway.
Steakhouse Stack, with two layers of delicious beef, crispy onions and peppercorn sauce. It's the kind of McDonald's you take photos of to put pride of place on the mantelpiece. Sure, you'll need to make room, but you remember what your wedding day looked like? The Steakhouse Stack. It's McDonald's and then some. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Subject to availability. Participating restaurants only.
This is LBC. Message Ian Payne on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60 973.
Okay, so sometimes all the criticism gets me down. Someone I need lifting up. So thanks very much, whoever you are. Ian, why did you ask? Yesterday all was easy peasy pie. Today I wake up precisely at 4 a.m. My body just wakes me up now. After 6 a.m. I'm up and away. Lots of love to you all. P.S. We love you just as you are. Please don't change. I love you just the way. So we're still looking for candidates for the 5 o'clock wake up, sort of the equivalent to the 4 a.m. rooster. I'm not sure. I'll explain it one more time, and then if you wake up and you hear doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, we're just gonna play it randomly. Just it never fails to make me laugh. So that was a guy called Michael from, can we remember where he was from? Michael rang up and he said, why don't you do 5 a.m. why don't you have some lovely bird song? And I said, what kind of lovely bird song? He said, how about this? Which I think is the worst bird impression of all time. But anyway, so it just, you know, it's like, it's a bit like the sort of the Red Chair and Graham Norton, except every single person would pull the lever, would have the lever pulled on them on this show. Because that's not a bird, is it? What bird is it, you know? So... So I don't know what that was. I do quite bird. I did my bird impressions yesterday. I'm not going to do them again. That's a magpie. They're always two together. It sounds like a mouse. No, a mouse is a squeaks. That's a... They chatter. No? Have a listen to my magpie. Get the magpie sound out and tell me... Get the magpie sound out and tell me that it doesn't, you've really thrown me now, that it doesn't, we're told, please, says Anthony, listen to a song by the Rascals called It's a Beautiful Morning. Okay, we will, I don't know that. I hope Michael's getting at least £1 a play. I've got a friend of mine who, and I can't go into it because obviously we're not allowed to talk about the ads, but it's a well-known energy company that talks about and something that lives in the sea and has eight legs. And she does the voiceover for it. And having done a few voiceovers in my past, there's two ways of being paid for a voiceover. One, you get a standard studio fee, which is like 250 quid. That's it. But if you're very clever, you can kind of invest in the advert. And the more times the advert is played, you don't get paid much per playing. But the more times it gets played, the more time you get paid. And this company, which you presumably know who I'm talking about, is on our radio station. It must be 70 times a day. I mean, it's just on. Polly, what? You don't like me talking about this. Okay, fine. I won't talk about it. But I hope she's got the opt-out fee. Because if she's got being paid just 250 quid for that, that's just absolutely... You'd be thinking, oh. If you ever... This is funny. If you ever... I've been very, very lucky because I work in an industry where you meet very well-known people, particularly in sport. And... if you meet someone who is famous for one thing in particular, they will always have a regret about it. I'm sure if you spoke to Neil Armstrong about one small step, I bet you he would have said, yeah, I wish I'd said that instead. Or it was always like, I used to know. So there's a very famous, well, the most famous of all is, they think it's all over. It is now. And there's people on the pitch. And I remember, and I was speaking to the commentator who did that, what's his name? Three syllable name. Come on, someone will know. I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that. What is his name? I'll get it in a minute. It'll come to me. I promise you. Someone will tell me. And I said, oh God. He said, yeah, I wish I'd patented it. And I'd have got money for everything. And I was thinking, oh, don't think about it like that. Or Cliff Morgan, who was a rugby player for, but probably even more, maybe more famous for being a broadcaster and the head of BBC Sport, and a wonderful man that I've worked with before he passed in the BBC. And he had a very famous commentary. It's a game from 1973, the Barbarians, which is a sort of amalgam of British players, playing against the New Zealand All Blacks, who never lose, really. And it was in Cardiff, and the Barbarians played this fantasy rugby, and it, within the first 5 minutes, Gareth Edwards scored after a move that went from their own line, and about seven or about 12 players touched the ball. It was brilliant. And Cliff had the memorable lines. He said, this is Gareth Edwards, a dramatic start, what a score, he said. And it was just brilliant. And I said to her, I said, that's such a brilliant commentary. He said, yeah, but I didn't need to say what a score. I should have just left silence. And I was like, oh my God, people doing amazingly famous things and they're still cut up about it. Stop it. You did well. For 5 a.m, the piano introduction to Morning Has Broken by Cat Stevens, played by Rick Wakeman. I'm throwing Kenneth Wilson home. Thank you very much indeed, Anthony. Kenneth Wilson home. So I'm throwing these out, Al. I don't know whether you seem very busy. You've not heard any of these. What do you mean you've not heard any of these? Kenneth Wilson home. Kenneth Wilson home. Kenneth Wilson home. Yeah, no more Kenneth Wilson home, please. I've got it. How about 5 a.m. having Gladys Pugh saying good morning campers in Heidi High? No. We do our own comedy. It's not very funny, but at least it's not that, you know. Morning in. Please. Yeah, by the Rascals. Dean said no. I'm not saying that. You see, you can't criticise Emma Raducanu. I feel guilty doing it. Good morning, Ian, says Chris in Cardiff. You sent me an attachment on WhatsApp and I can't read that. Sorry, it can't do it. Kenneth Wilson home. Yeah. The whole world knows what you're talking. Yes. What was I going to talk about there? Yes, so Clarkson's Farm, I've done that. What about this guy? the head of... See, you know, we talked about being misrepresented. Corporations often misrepresent. There's a brilliant documentary on about the scandal in the 80s of Tylenol, which is the American version of paracetamol, I suppose. And someone somewhere managed to, either by accident or on purpose, lace these pills with cyanide in 1982, and seven people died. And it's a three-part documentary. I'm not going to tell you what happens in the end. Let's just say it was... no, I can't even say that. So watch it and tell me what you think of it. Because, you know, you watch all these people who were... And it was Johnson & Johnson was the people who owned the company that made these pills. And it was obviously the brand leader, and it makes them more money than you can even laugh about. So they were desperate to hang on to it, and they relaunched it, and it was safer, and they had all these different things on it that they didn't have before. They had a sealable top, and they had the kind of foil over the front. And you see it in all packaging now, but it's there to stop people tampering with it. And they did say, they went on and on and on and saying, you know, it definitely didn't come from one of our factories. And then they had to admit that they did have some cyanide at these factories. And they said, yeah, but it's under lock and key 24/7 and very few people can go there. Not true. You went to the factory and you found it was just open. The door was open all the time and anyone could just wander in and get potassium cyanide, which you can still buy online because I tried it. I didn't actually buy it, but I actually went online to see. You can actually buy potassium cyanide online. Well, you shouldn't, though, because I'm not a doctor, but you shouldn't know. You definitely shouldn't buy potassium cyanide, should you? It's kind of... Presumably, they sell it for rat poison, do they? I don't know. Anyway, and it's just another remarkable thing. So here's another example of that yesterday. Here we go. So, do you remember when Heathrow Airport was closed for... Was it 24 hours? Because they had a meltdown on their security system because there was a power outage in the local electrical... what do we call that? Electrical station, substation. Okay. And we were told that the man who runs Heathrow Airport, a bloke called Thomas Waldby, had agreed with his deputy that he would let the deputy would do all the damaged stuff when it happened during the night, and then he'd get in nice and early the next morning to take over the reins. And he thought, okay, well, that sounds funny. Now it turns out that actually he wasn't aware of it because he was fast asleep and he put his phone on silent, which, you know, for most people is okay. But if you're the head of the world's one of the world's busiest airports, I don't know, you get paid a lot, I would imagine, to do that job. So, you know, sorry, sleep deprivation will be part of it. Anyway, so the inquiry's report has come out. And basically, he said, no, he was fast asleep. Attempts to tell Heathrow Airport's sleeping chief executive that the airport had been closed because of a power outage failed because his bedside phone was on silent, an inquiry has found. Thomas Waldby was in bed as senior Heathrow staff decided to suspend operations because of a fire at a nearby electrical substation. No flights operated at the airport until 6 p.m. The next day because of the blaze, which started late the previous night. The closure, which affected 270,000 journeys, was caused by an unprecedented set of circumstances, the Heathrow chairman, Lord Dayton, said, adding the airport's infrastructure. La, 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 la. Anyway, Mr. Waldby was not involved in the decision taken by the airport's chief operator. So we were sold a dummy there. He told us that they'd come to an agreement. These guys, honestly, you know, the richer you are, the more you just sort of dissemble. Shall I say that? What did he need? Someone said he did. He definitely did. Oh, he needed one of those. How are we getting on with all our possible contenders for 5 o'clock, Al? We've got 8 options. It's like online banking. You try and ring them up and all they do is just say, you press 1, now press 3, now press 1, now press 3. And you never speak to a human being. It's exactly 4:45.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Is it time to decriminalise the possession of cannabis? Well, a commission that's been set up by the London Mayor, Sir Sadiq Khan, and chaired by a very prominent politician, thinks it probably is. The chair is Charlie, now, of course, Lord Faulkner, who's a KC, and joins me now. How am I going to get it? If it's decriminalised, how will I buy it?
Well, that's the compromise that is made. You have to buy it through criminal sources unless you've got...
How will your recommendations work, Lord Faulkner? Because I can use it for personal use, but the minute I go to someone on Blackheath High Street or Greenwich High Street, I'm breaking the law, am I not?
You're not breaking the law, but the person who's selling it to you is. The current position, Nick, is that so many people get it now so easily that it is extremely unlikely to have an impact on the actual amount that people use.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back this morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity, we actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
Where would we be without the curiosity to explore?
It takes us to new places.
It even got us to the moon.
And now there's never been a better time to satisfy your curiosity about electric cars. With great offers in our award-winning range, including the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, available with £2,000 deposit contribution and 0% APR. Discover more at Hyundai.co.uk. Ends 30th of June 25. Finance subject to status. Hyundai Motor UK Limited is a credit broker, not a lender. Terms apply.
How would you like to be a Win Plus winner? Enter now to win huge cash prizes and loads more at winplus.co.uk. 18 plus, GB only, T's and C's apply.
Imagine your dream holiday made possible by comparing cheap flights on Kayak. Walking on an unspoilt goes on for miles beach on the Sardinian coast. Plunging into the splendour of an idyllic lagoon in Greece. Ah, yes. This is the life. All you have to do
is actually book it. Don't holidays. Use Kayak to compare prices from hundreds of travel sites and airlines to find your dream deal. Search Kayak and go see for yourself.
Leading Britain's conversation. LBC with Ian Payne.
OK, Okay. Thank you to all of you. We're going to play sort of best of them after 5 o'clock, and you can decide which one you like, or you might want to consider an alternative. So we have the Rooster at 4. I'm asking you, could we do a similar thing at 5? Not at 6, obviously, because it's serious at 6. It'll be serious. But before that, we might get away with something at 5 o'clock. So Al is beavering away. He's got 8 possibles. I love Marilyn again. Thank you very much for your suggestion. But the problem, if you have a suggestion saying it's a wonderful morning, you say, how about the Boo Radleys? Wake up, it's a beautiful morning. That one. Yeah, but we're in London. We're in England. It's not going to be a beautiful morning most times, is it? And I just feel I don't want to kind of... I don't want to spin a deceitful web. I don't want us to lie, basically. Wake up, it's a beautiful morning. No, it's not. It's foggy. And the cloud will not break for another 7 weeks. Yeah? Okay. We could do it in the morning, but in the summer. Katie says, what about a bell ringing at 5 a.m.? And instead of saying shame, the voice says pain. I'm not sure how we do that one. I love shame. I used to go out with a girl and we used to laugh about that thing, shame. We'd send texts to each other and it would just make me laugh every single time. Do you know who was who played that part in Game of Thrones? Do you remember? Do you know who she is? Is her name, is it Waddingham? Hannah? No. Is it Hannah Waddingham? Who was in the so-called comedy about an American who comes over and coaches, what's his name, Ted Lasso. Oh, God, that's not funny. Why do people like that show? It's just not funny. Maybe it's because I'm a sports fan. It's just silly. I just think it's really, really silly. For the 5 o'clock, try Good Morning Vietnam from the film. Yeah, well, you know, Good Morning Vietnam. Yeah, again, the Vietnam might have a few sort of problems with it because we're not really in Vietnam. Unless, of course, you are listening in Ho Chi Minh City. I don't know, maybe you are. But I'm not sure that would work. And similarly, Robert Duval, it's my favourite, but we can't do it for obvious reasons. You know, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It's fine, but it's a bit... It's the sort of thing that you'd get on Radio X. It's very sort of blokey. Can I say that? Yeah. It's very Johnny Vaughan, that. And I'm not sure whether the fact that we're a news station and there are wars going on and who knows what they're using, to be honest, then I don't think it's appropriate. The Laughing Policeman. Yeah, well, we could do The Laughing Policeman, but I'm not so sure that that's necessarily going to be a good idea. Now, I was looking at some other news stories. Oh, yeah, that was the Harry Potter story. The Tate brothers, which we're going to be talking about later, have they both been charged? So we need to be very careful talking about the Tate brothers as well. Beautiful, beautiful picture in the eye today of a 11-day-old snow leopard cub. If you were going to try and invent a creature that was just completely and utterly cute, that is what you would do. Right, we better talk about the thing that I was supposed to be talking about, which is, can you get away with wearing trainers and a suit? I don't think... I know it's trendy. I know lots of sort of football presenters do it. But it, to me, you know, it's not right. It's like, why were flares ever a thing? It's just not, you know, some things like the mullet, which is coming back, and it's normally Australians playing Aussie rules football, is that all rugby league? You know, it's just, I don't know why rugby likes the mullet so much. It just feels like, it feels like Caleb Cooper should have a mullet. If you work on a farm or something, you should have a mullet. I don't know why. It's just the most disgusting sort of hairstyle ever. So Justin Trudeau was very prominent in the front bench of the Liberal Party, isn't he? He's now stepped down as Prime Minister, and obviously we have Mr. Carney, the old former Bank of England governor, who is. So Trudeau turned up in a lovely suit, very similar to the one I wore for my daughter's wedding, and a lovely tie, and green and orange, so they're sort of, I call it duck egg blue. Do you know what duck egg blue is? What colour duck egg? So they're not sort of green or turquoise or blue. They're duck egg blue. Those sort of greenish type of eggs that you get. The gazelles that he was wearing, they're not green. They're duck egg blue. Oh, well, we can argue about the colour. The hue, which I prefer, with the red or orange Adidas or Adidas stripes. Okay, Adidas have had a pretty torrid time recently, haven't they? So... Mark Carney greeted the King and the Queen for the busy folk call of his new premiership. This is in the Times, our favourite paper. Immaculately dressed from head to toe in a suit and tie and smartly polished black lace-ups. Very good. His predecessor, Justin... Why did Charles have all those medals? Why has he got loads of medals? I don't think he's seen active duty, has he? He was in the Navy, wasn't he, Charles? Did he see... I don't know why they always have these medals. His predecessor, Justin Trudeau, on the other hand, only looked fine from the ankle up. He was wearing a suit and tie and trainers. For the love of God, says Hilary Rose, writing in the Times. For the love of God, she says... they weren't even discreet trainers, or I've just had bunion surgery and I have no choice trainers. They were the statement look at me trainers, green suede, I still say duck egg blue, Adidas gazelles with red stripes. Trendy, lovely. Adidas are brilliant at reinventing themselves, like Nike. They sort of swap. Which one's trendy at the moment? It's Nike. Oh, it's Adidas are amazing that they've reinvented themselves so many times and made wearing their outfits and their shoes trendy. Very clever. If you can do that, you really are. What did he think he looked like? Cool and down with the kids. Does he really think that the King and Queen visiting the Canadian... I mean, there's a bit of a sniffy article. But I do agree with her. To be honest, I just think it looks awful, don't you? The guy who's in... At least he was elected, but the King wasn't. Why are you making this into a Republican thing? This is nothing to... This is about fashion, Sam. These boys, honestly, they're so left-wing. They're just falling over the edge of the flat earth. What do you think about that fashion? It just feels wrong to me. That's all. But then I'm just old-fashioned. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. No, I just think, like the guy who runs FIFA, Infantino, he wears those big white trainers. When he was handing out the World Cup and poor old Messi had to wear that stupid thing in Qatar, you know, they gave him some sort of Arabic-type costume that he had to wear when it was all like, oh, shut up. This is not about you. It's about football. It's not about you guys. Anyway, Infantino always wears those trainers, and it's just so kind of virtue signalling. It's just like, oh, grow up. Stop it. You look silly. Would it kill him to put a pair of shoes on? It isn't as if the outfit was stupid. That it didn't work. Trainers like that don't go with a suit and tie. The whole ensemble was jarring. It was inappropriate. I realise this makes me sound like some mad old trout bleating about how in the good old days everyone wore a hat to put the bins out. But there we are. Can you wear trainers with a suit? Mark says you're a grumpy, out-of-touch old man. I don't think I am. What do you think, Al? You've got an old soul, but you are young. So do you think you could ever wear Adidas trainers with a suit? Yeah, he says. Yeah, why not? Okay. So you think I'm out of fashion? I'm a grumpy, out-of-touch old man? Do you? Oh, do you think I am, Sam the Wise? Do you think I'm a grumpy, out-of-touch old man? Am I? We had a great discussion this morning about decluttering our lives, because I like nothing more. You laugh when I say this, but I threw my computer away. I declutter my life. I don't want extraneous stuff going on. I don't want the hassle of admin. I don't like paperwork. I don't even like booking flights unless I have to. You know, I'm so happy with my simple life. I feel like Gandhi. Well, not the model Gandhi, the Indian leader. But I do. I feel like I've pared my life down. I don't wander around in a loincloth on a walking stick, but I do. I've just... Last year, I threw my computer away. I threw away the... What do they call them? The tower? Those big things where you put... What's the point of that? My Wi-Fi printer, which has never worked, because I don't understand how you get printer without actually having a cable. And, yeah, because we've got this thing now... the people that run the management office that run our block of flats and the estate managers, as they rather grandly call themselves, are obsessed with security. I don't know why, but they're obsessed with security. So they've got this thing now. We've got big notices saying beware of tailgaters. Do you know what tailgaters are? These are people who, when you go through the barriers at a tube station or you use your fob to open a door in my block of flats, beware of people that sort of hitch a ride behind you to get in, because they could get in. And you're thinking to yourself, what are these people going to do? All the rooms are locked. They haven't got a fob to get into the next part of it, you know. And if someone is clever enough to break into my flat, what is there worth stealing, frankly? A very old PlayStation, a large television, possibly, but are you really going to carry that out? It's too big for one person. And my mattress, which is probably just about needing a resumption. Other than that, I can't think of anything that's worth nicking, frankly. Do you? Ian, Prince Edward was only in the Royal Marines for 2 weeks and he's weighed down with medals. I know, it seems it's strange, isn't it? Kathy says, on Mastermind, you frequently see trainers with smart trousers and trainers with dresses for the... neither look good, but they are comfy. G says, nothing wrong with looking smart. People just don't make the effort or want to these times. Frank suggesting for 5 o'clock, I know you're all anticipating this because I can hardly wait, but for 5 o'clock, how about having It's Showtime? It's a phrase used so many times by so many actors in loads of movies. It's not really a Showtime, though, is it? It's not good enough to be a Showtime-type programme. If it was, it'd be funny. But Money for Nothing by Dire Straits? Yeah. That sounds dismal. Ian, an oik baller. What's that? An oik baller. Don't know what that means. In a suit and trainers, says Justin, is the height of sartorial inelegance. But if you think about it, they're not the brightest lights on the tree to begin with. Tony said, they're playing my music. It's not a case of what people can steal, but also for the security of women and children as well. Thank you, Tony, for, as always, being the voice of calm and reason. Ian says, Glyn, the King's medals are mainly Jubilee Orders of Merit and varying Commonwealth awards. Are they? It's like when my sister was riding a horse back in the day and they used to go to a pony camp at a place called Tweezledown, it's called. And every single person who attended the weekend at Tweezledown won a rosette, even if they didn't even jump a fence, because you can't have competition anymore. It's like Winnie the Pooh. And everyone won prizes.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 5 o'clock, a trade court in the US has blocked President Trump's sweeping tariffs, including levies on China, Mexico and Canada. Judges have ruled that Mr. Trump does not have the unilateral authority to impose taxes on nearly every country. The White House filed a notice of appeal immediately after the verdict was announced. The Republican commentator Paul Dudridge says Mr. Trump is likely to win.
The president can impose blanket tariffs in times of national emergency, and he's declared an emergency. This court isn't buying that, and so this will just get kicked up to the Supreme Court.